74. Jesse left the Explorer on the road and walked up from there, not wanting to announce that he was here. He noticed a single light on in the gatehouse tonight, but no car parked in its driveway. The big house was fully lit, though. When Thomas Lawton opened the door, Jesse could see suitcases in the front hall. "Get lost," Lawton said to Jesse. "I've got nothing to say to you, like ever again."
"Maybe you do," Jesse said.
"Who's there, Tommy?" Jesse heard.
Kate O'Hara had come walking out of the living room with a glass of wine in her hand. She stopped when she saw Jesse, opened her mouth, and closed it.
"You two kids going somewhere?" Jesse said.
"Have you really thought this through, Kate? He's not as rich as you thought he was going to be."
"Whatever," Lawton said. "The one who's going right now is you."
Lawton started to shut the door. Jesse put an arm out and stopped him.
"Tommy," he said, "you don't want to upset me tonight."
He walked past him and into the living room and left them little choice but to follow him.
"You told me Neil's world was getting smaller," Jesse said to Kate.
"What do you want, Jesse?" she said.
"Thinking closure," Jesse said.
Lawton reached for the phone on the coffee table, started to punch out some numbers.
"I'm calling the mayor," he said.
Jesse smiled.
"Tommy," he said, "if you don't put down that phone, I will make you eat it."
"What's this about, Stone?" he said. "You want to rub my face in it one last time? Unless I drop the case against the goddamn Indians, I'll be in federal court for the rest of my life. And that's the best case scenario. I lost. You won. Game over."
"Not quite yet," Jesse said.
Then he took the printouts Gabe and Jim Silliman had brought with them out of the side pocket of his windbreaker. The ones they'd handed over to Jesse after they'd finally cracked the code on Neil O'Hara's navigation system and been able to determine the last several stops the car had made. The last few stops, time-stamped, were the only ones that had interested Jesse. The final one had been at Neil's house on Beach Avenue. The one before that had been at the Throw, which meant the killer or killers had driven him there in his own car. The one before that had been at the home he had once shared with Kate O'Hara on Stiles Island, still listed as home, as it turned out, in the car's computer because Neil had never changed it. Or maybe remained hopeful that it could be his home again someday, provided she took him back. He unfolded the printouts and spread them out on the coffee table, explaining what they were. Lawton looked down at them. Kate O'Hara kept staring at Jesse. Out of his other pocket, Jesse pulled out the black-and-white photographs that he'd gotten from the guard gate at the Bluffs from the night when Neil O'Hara had been shot to death. One showed Neil behind the wheel of the Chevy Volt at 8:35. A half hour later, there were Richie Carr behind the wheel of Carr's Highlander, the man Jesse now knew to be Darnell Woodson in the passenger seat next to him. Kate O'Hara, as beautiful as ever, was still staring at him.
"I wasn't there," she said. "I had driven over here to see Thomas after your friend Crow stopped by earlier."
Jesse knew what he had and what he didn't have. He was just here hoping one of them would make a mistake. She'd lied to him before.
"No," he said, "I checked.
Your car never came back through the gate that night. Neither did your boyfriend's. You didn't leave, and you were still there when I came to tell you about Neil."
"Please stop talking, Kate," Lawton said.
Jesse ignored him.
"I screwed up here," he said. "I realize that now. You always look at the husband or wife first, but this was different. I knew you. So I never thought he could have gone to see you that night.
You know what I'm guessing? Neil had good news to share with you that night. Ben Gage had come around earlier to show him at least some of what he'd dug up. As soon as someone from the Pecontac Nation verified what the kid had, the deal was going to be dead in the water. Neil and the kids from SOB were going to stop the sale after all. And who better to share news like that than with his wife? He wanted to have dinner, Kate said. I told you that. I turned him down. You know what else I think? Jesse said, ignoring her. I think he told you some of it on the phone and told you he'd tell you the rest of it in person and headed over to Stiles Island. But before he got there, you called Tommy and told him Neil was about to go public with some very bad shit that would mean that Tommy wasn't going to get his money after all. He smiled. You staged the break-in at your house, didn't you? He said. What was the plan, to make yourself look like a victim? Or just get me to look anywhere except at you? She was the one looking away now. Okay, Lawton said, we're done here. If you had more than this fairy tale, you would have arrested us already. Jesse said, eventually. We went back over Neil's car after we checked out the navigation. And guess what we came up with? DNA belonging to Mr. Woodson that we'd missed. Jesse paused. Fake it till you make it. And when I arrest Darnell, Jesse continued, which I promise you I will, do either one of you really think he's going down for this alone?
Darnell's not going down for shit, Darnell Woodson said, walking into the room, gun pointed at Jesse. You know the drill, Chief, Woodson said. Hands where I can see them. And then told Thomas Lawton to relieve the chief of his weapon and bring it over to him. Lawton did. I saw his car down to the road when I come in to pack up my shit, Woodson said to Lawton. I figured nothing good could be happening up here.
To Jesse, Woodson said,
Man paid up what he owed me, though. Even with his finances taking a turn for the worse like they did, he shrugged. At least that deal went through.
You going to put a cop killing on top of everything else, Darnell? Jesse said.
Been reviewing my options fast as I can, Chief. And I got to admit, none of them good, Woodson said.
He shook his head, talking to himself.
I don't know what my man, Chief Stone, has got for sure and what he don't got, Darnell said. But either way, I don't see as how I can take no chances.
He shook his head.
God damn, he said. This is all too good to be true. Even after Richie got himself shot, just too goddamn good to be true.
Talking to himself more than the room.
See, Woodson said to Lawton and Kate, what neither of you know, or maybe just think you know, is that this man here will get up on everybody's shit and never get out. Whether he's got DNA or he don't. Whether it's all circumstantial or not. He ain't quit now. And I don't want to spend the rest of my life looking over my fucking shoulder. You got your cuffs with you? He said to Jesse. Then he smiled. Of course you do. Probably never go anywhere without them. Thomas, go get him off the man's belt and cuff him behind his back, if that's just the same with you. I'm sorry it all come to this, but Chief Stone and me got to take a ride.
Jesse stepped away from the fireplace as Lawton came around behind him. As he did, Jesse grabbed him, putting Lawton between him and Darnell Woodson, and rushed Lawton across the room, like a linebacker pushing a runner back even after the play was over. Woodson fired anyway, Kate screaming now, as Jesse felt the first bullet go through Thomas Lawton and hit Jesse in his left shoulder, Jesse getting lower before the next bullet snapped Lawton's head back. Lawton fell away. Jesse dropped and rolled to his side. Woodson kept firing. Jesse heard another scream from Kate then, saw her fall forward onto the coffee table, scattering the printouts and photographs, before there was one last gunshot from the front hall, and Jesse saw that Woodson was down, and Crow was standing over him.